royalties respect art. That's why the art scene blew up with NFTs. You know, you take away those royalties and essentially this core pioneering crowd is going to leave the platform.
Royalties as a revenue stream at the end of the day are uniquely Web3.
And thus should be protected. No royalties, what's the point of having an NFT in the first place?
How do you, as an individual, plan to build the space that you want to be a part of? To the seventh episode of Not a JPEG, a podcast for entrepreneurs and creators building and innovating within Web3.
Where each week we explore everyday sectors of modern society and how NFTs will revolutionize how we start, scale, and sell businesses. Before we get into today's episode, my name's Katarina. This is Michael.
Hello.
We are the hosts of Not a JPEG. If you're listening to this on a podcasting app or watching our beautiful faces on YouTube, hit the subscribe button and any notification bell to stay up to date with all things Not a JPEG and any future episodes. And if you're on social media actively, you could always give us a little follow at Not a JPEG Podcast. We put out multiple 1 minute clips of our podcast, the most poignant, mic drop worthy, or important points that are easy to share, easy to reflect on, and easy to digest. So definitely check those out.
Today, we are going to be discussing a really important yet also heated topic of debate within the space right now, and that is
royalties.
Royalties in NFTs.
Definitely dividing the space right now.
For a few reasons, which we will get to, of course.
Yes, absolutely. Before we talk about royalties within NFTs, let's go back to what royalties actually are and how royalties are used in, you know, everyday world outside of Web3.
Yeah, let's lay some of that groundwork.
Yeah, absolutely. So royalties actually in the physical world are a little bit different, but a similar premise to royalties and NFTs. They function as a payment for someone holding the license to use some form of IP, which is laid out and protected with a legally binding contract that relies on a third party to pay these royalties at regular specified intervals. So it's sums of money paid out for use based on a predetermined license agreement. Arts such as film or visual and performing arts and music can actually be copyrighted, and a copyright is a universal contract that enforces these royalties to be paid every single time that content is used, whether you have a legally binding agreement directly with the artist or not. The issue with that, of course, is running into collecting those royalties, but that's a whole other issue. Regardless, movies, music, patents for recipes or different technological advances, VC investments that are based on royalties, authors and publishing, mineral and oil use rights, and, you know, franchising fees are all different kinds of royalties, those payments that are made on a regular basis to use IP.
Right. And as someone in the advertising industry, this is something we deal with on the daily because we definitely use a lot of stock footage, stock music, stock photography, and basically anything that someone has created that we use commercially has some sort of royalty paid back to the original creator. Now, royalties in that sense do solve one of the oldest issues plaguing creators, is that typically most creatives are underpaid and have been underpaid. They create a piece of work, and that piece of work usually sells for, you know, a little less than what it's actually worth, and then it is heavily marked up by others down the chain, and many people then profit off of that piece of work, especially if that person ends up becoming famous or big. And what royalties do is they ensure that creatives continue to receive payment for the value that they've created down the road, which is pretty big.
Yeah, really important, and so important that they've been ingrained into business models that are fiercely defended by legal teams and third parties. But those legal teams and third parties can be quite expensive to hire. So without the capital to pay to protect your rights, it's incredibly challenging for the creator, especially a smaller grassroots creator, to benefit from royalties and extract any value from their continued sales.
Until now.
Enter Web3.
Mm-hmm.
You know, royalties have been a defining cornerstone of NFTs as a product or service, to the point where royalties have become kind of like a part of the Web3 ethos.
Oh, it's definitely like the foundation of the space, for
yeah,
sure.
Absolutely. For those of you who don't know how royalties work with NFTs, here's a very quick breakdown. A smart contract that backs the NFT and all its functionality usually can have a 1% to 10% royalty options that creators will add. This means that whenever the NFT gets sold on the secondary market, the creator gets a cut in perpetuity.
Forever.
This is settled automatically at the point of sale due to the public record that is the blockchain. Thus, there is no more need for expensive lawyers or third-party collectors to enforce these royalties. This is huge, especially for the small grassroots creator.
It levels the playing field for them.
Absolutely. Royalties have been a huge driving factor behind the empowerment that digital assets are giving back to the creator, as it provides a new source of revenue they've never been able to access before. Instead of selling something once and never making money off of it again, or not having the resources to pay for that royalty payment and collect it, you now have the ability to continue to get paid every time your creation changes hands.
Which is very important. And I would say like pivotal to, you know, new creatives entering the space.
Absolutely.
However, there is one big problem with this. While royalties can be written into the smart contract, as they are, they actually cannot be enforced at the smart contract level. This is because the smart contract's transfer function, that's what it's called, has no understanding of any sort of payment. It has no understanding of currency. All it understands is, okay, you can send an NFT from one place to another place freely without any sort of fee. And that's largely what makes the blockchain permissionless. Now, you could change this potentially and mess with it a little bit, but it really complicates the whole process and makes them harder to use. So for right now, it's not something that we've been able to solve in an easy way. So what the smart contract does is it allows you to set a series of conditions in the metadata, right? And that's where a lot of the data about that token live. Usually it's traits, it's rarity, it's that sort of thing in a lot of these collections. But one of the things that you could ingrain into that metadata is that royalty. But ultimately, it is up to the marketplace where the NFT is sold to enforce and implement that royalty.
Herein lies the problem currently.
Right. Now, this might change in the future as the technology gets better, but right now there is a level of trust that we have in these marketplaces, right? Which is not necessarily great.
Mm-hmm. They're centralized, right?
They're very centralized. And that kind of goes against the whole ethos of Web3, right? We believe in decentralization. So to have these centralized marketplaces as something we have to rely on and put our faith in.
Yeah, gatekeepers.
Yeah, they're essentially gatekeepers is not the best. So you've got, you know, OpenSea, Nifty Gateway, Magic Eden, Rarible, Super Rare, PseudoSwap, that sort of thing. They're all centralized and they are the gatekeepers, like Katarina said, and we have to put our trust in these entities to act in our best interest, unfortunately.
And some marketplaces have completely stopped supporting this ethos in the pursuit of profit and market share. And herein lies where this debate has started.
Right. And so PseudoSwap, very early on, they started circumventing NFT royalties that have been sold on their platform. And now, recently, very recently, actually, Magic Eden, another big marketplace, has followed in the same footsteps by offering the option for 0% royalties. And so that's become very appealing to degens and traders wishing to maximize their profits by saving money on paying out creator royalties.
And you know what? We're in a bear market. I can't blame them for trying to save some money and fees, even if it's meant to support the creator. Plus, for these marketplaces to compete with one another with record lows right now in this bear market, it does make sense why they would try to reduce their own fees and circumvent royalties altogether.
Yep. But I will say, though, that the marketplaces, they don't do much to move our space forward. You know, marketplaces are largely just extracting liquidity and they're competing with one another versus growing the space and actually contributing or adding anything of value.
Yeah, good point.
Right? Now, some would say that this is a great move for the space. Others would vehemently disagree. However, once this can of like no royalties has been opened like we have, it really is a slippery slope and unfortunately most likely a race to the bottom, right?
Yeah, yikes. So what we're witnessing right now is the struggle between three groups in this space. Mm-hmm. On one hand, we have holders who want to reduce their losses in the bear market. You know, over here, we have creators that want to maximize their revenue in the long term and extend their runway beyond the initial mint, or they're creating, you know, a free mint product and they need royalties to help sustain their growth and development and the value of the product, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what NFTs do. They provide that long-term royalty. And then over here, we have marketplaces which are racing to the bottom in an attempt to squeeze each other out. It's a messy situation.
Very messy.
But the, you know, the real root cause of all this is the NFT market culture from the bull run is trying to sustain itself in this bear market. And unfortunately, the conditions of mass profit for creators or traders don't exist nearly like they did before. And coming out of this bear market, NFTs, creators, and communities are not going to be the same. There is an urgent call for change right now. This is what this debate is all about, in how we approach NFT creation, collection, utility, and trading.
Right.
And this change will determine the survival of the smaller creators, the entrepreneurs, the artists in the space as we move into a world of mass adoption and mass utility led by those huge brands.
Yeah. And so TLDR, royalties are not the enemy per se.
No.
It's human behavior. It's the way we interact on the blockchain. It's the greed that is the actual culprit here. And it is slowly killing, in our opinion at least, the best model we have right now for creator-holder alignment.
Yep.
So as you can probably tell, and for the record, let it be known, we are obviously both very much pro-royalties, and we will explain why. But our reasoning, just so you know, is not black and white. There are equally good points on both sides of the debate that have, you know, very valid and strong arguments to support the claims they're making. The issue is very gray and it's nuanced and needs to be approached that way. And in our opinion, the solution that needs to be solved or the root issue that needs to be tackled is greed, which is a very tough thing because it's so innate to being human.
Yeah. Big time. It's kind of the root issue of everything in capitalism and why we wanted to build Web3 and the ethos behind it. And now it's kind of seeped in here. But we'll get into all of that here. We've established our bias, just so you know, but we're going to try our best to show both sides and the arguments that we've had discussed with some of our friends, with people in spaces. And hopefully we do a good job at exposing some of the issues and why royalties are something that you maybe should think twice about. To start this off, let's go over the pros and the cons. Let's evaluate the pros of royalties and the cons of royalties. So pros first, we're going to talk about three different pros that we've seen come up time and time again, is that royalties create new revenue streams. Royalties enable NFTs to disrupt existing royalty-based industries, and royalties inspire accountability and innovation. So the first one, new revenue streams. Now, we have to discuss this in context to the three kind of creators that are in Web3.
And what are they?
Broad categories. So the first one we got to talk about is artists. Okay. Royalties for artists are a game changer. Before NFTs, artists never got to capitalize on the sale of their work beyond that initial sale. Right? Their art may have been priced low at the start of their career, and then years later when they're famous or dead, the art sells for insane amounts and that benefits the collector only, not the artist or their estate. Mm-hmm. Royalties thus allow for artists to have consistent revenue beyond having to constantly produce art to sell. It gives them stability. It allows them to take risks and, you know, do bigger projects and create participatory art exhibits with their holders versus having to hold all these side jobs to pay the bills and not focus on what they love.
Which we know is a very important part of the creative process, taking that load off and that accountability, responsibility for having to constantly put out stuff in order to stay afloat. Is a huge benefit of royalties and what they bring to the artist's life.
Exactly. It also allows them to benefit from their talent and skills in the future when they maybe aren't doing art anymore, bringing them growth opportunities for their life enrichment in general, right? Royalties respect art. That's why the art scene blew up with NFTs. You know, you take away those royalties and essentially this core pioneering crowd is going to leave the platform.
Right, 100%.
And NFTs overall will lose one of their biggest use cases, which is not good.
Yeah, to date.
So that's one user and creator of NFTs. For entrepreneurs, royalties are super important because they provide a new revenue stream that can help avoid taking on debt or losing equity in a project, right? Mm-hmm. So whether your business is entirely Web3 or you're offering a product or service and tokenizing it with an NFT, royalties provide a secondary revenue stream beyond that initial sale of said product or service, right? Instead of having to constantly produce new products or services, you can adopt a rarity model akin to Supreme, even though they're a big brand, and you can create limited drops of something that will continue to pay you as it moves forward through the secondary market, you know, whether it's a course that you do for a limited time and only people holding the NFTs can buy it, or some sort of access token that allows this very exclusive club that you have to sell that later. Like, who knows what it is? What matters is that you can create less and continue to drive, get value from that small creation and then build value within that ecosystem of that product or service you made rather than focusing on masses and masses and masses of sales, right?
Yep.
So it becomes more about the craft and about the quality versus the quantity to make ends meet. For smaller creators and startups, royalties are currently the best model for creator-holder alignment. We said that earlier. Teams are incentivized to perform actions and produce deliverables consistently that are more likely to help the project's floor price and thus help the holders retain their value. Royalties are correlated to a project success in the end of the day, right? You know, high value for holders means more trading, more hype, and thus more royalties. It's a feedback loop, right? If you continue to provide value with your NFT project, your royalties are going to continue to come in and you're going to get paid for that value provision, which then allows you to do more and provide more value, which then brings you in more royalties, right? It makes what you do more valuable. Thus, there's no urgent need in that initial growth phase where, you know, you don't have a lot of experience or maybe you don't have a lot to show. It doesn't put you in a position where you have to take on these big loans or reduce your equity, and your fans can support you.
And to your point, it's very much a case in point of what you are able to accomplish and do, right? Because like you said, you only get paid with these royalties if you're successful, if you're providing value. So in a way, it's like the most fundamental basic form of how capitalism works, right?
Yeah.
You provide value, you get rewarded.
Yeah, absolutely. This works especially well for those that create a free mint NFT, right? Royalties will continue to help fund this free project that they created and got people to join and thus increase the project overall, right?
Yeah, and in the free mint NFTs, it actually takes a lot of the risk off of the person who's minting the project or entering the project, because you jump in, you go along for the ride, and then it's up to the founder and the creator to prove their worth and to prove what they can do, right?
Yep. Without royalties, there is less of a concern for a project accountability. Like, founders don't have to prove what they can do and continue to do what they need to do. Founders, you know, don't have to build as much value because it'll be at a loss with regard to direct NFT sales.
Right. So that's, you know, we have artists, we have entrepreneurs and founders and creators of, you know, businesses or small startups. The third one to talk about, and as you can see, we're kind of going up in levels from the small fish to the big fish. At the very top, you've got already established brands, right? And these are the guys who are looking at the space because it does promise a new revenue stream, right? A new revenue stream that they have never been able to capitalize on before. Billions are left on the table, you know, in secondary marketplaces that these brands are not able to tap into. And the options of royalties plus that digital authentication really fully just opens up the floodgates for these large brands to finally break into the space and capitalize on these thriving secondary markets. Mm-hmm. And truthfully, this notion of capitalizing on the secondary market, of being able to tap into that, is the one big takeaway point that really allows the concept of NFTs to click for those who are maybe the investor type or more of the traditional business players. Any of the ones that we've ever spoken to or tried to get them into NFTs or tell them about NFTs.
Yeah, they didn't really get it until we're like, oh yeah, there are these things like royalties that are collected in perputuity and there's no follow-up or whatever. And then they're like, oh, okay, that changes things.
Yeah, it clicks for them. And so for them, that is a big gateway into getting a lot of these big players into the space, which we'll touch on a little bit later on, and seeing more of that mass adoption, right? So from ticketing to textbooks, fashion, appliance, basically anything you could buy on Facebook or Kijiji or anything there is a secondary market for, they will greatly benefit from NFT royalties.
Yeah.
And the first things that eventually will benefit, and the ones that we're already seeing in the space, are the things that are already pseudo-digital or phidgetal, right? Mm-hmm. So sports tickets or concert tickets, let's use that as an example, right? Mark Cuban owns the Dallas Mavericks, and he has stated he's looking at making, you know, Mavericks tickets NFTs. You know, in the case of the Mavs, you know, people are season pass holders. There are about, I think, 41 home games. And I think two of them are like really high level, high stakes. And a lot of people end up selling their tickets for one or both games. And that ends up paying off the whole season pass for them. And that's revenue. That's money that the Mavs never ever end up seeing. Mm-hmm. So with NFT royalties, and if they make these tickets into royalties, they can now tap into that secondary market, grab a percentage of that market. So it's not just the scalper on the street or the friend selling to a friend. They're incentivized to tap into this, so they get this new revenue stream. The team gets that. There's opportunities for growth and more profits. And tapping into these royalties for these bigger players is going to be a huge, huge driving factor of mass adoption.
For sure.
Right? All those industries will see jumping in because it's a no-brainer. It just makes sense for them to do. And the way that Katarina and I see it is that if these guys are going to jump in and collect royalties from secondary sales, why the hell would you ever be pro stripping that privilege from the little guys?
Yeah. You know what? This whole notion of NFTs as tickets or NFTs for these, you know, bigger companies, it could actually maybe drive down the price and make things more accessible because they're capitalizing on secondary sales now. Right. And that could be huge, making tickets to your favorite concert more accessible. We're going to talk about textbooks or books. Like if they can capitalize on secondary sales, maybe it'll actually, or it's a digital book, maybe it'll actually bring the price down and allow knowledge to be more accessible.
The textbook is a great example. Actually, mm-hmm. Pearson, you know, huge, huge company that publisher of textbooks, you know, if you've been to high school, college, university, you've likely owned one of their books. They had a great stat that one Pearson textbook is resold an average of 7 times.
Wow.
Which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's
a
lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. And them as Pearson, they only get to capitalize on the first sale, right? They only make money off the first sale.
I sense a huge use case for them.
Yeah, right. And so they have already started talking about, okay, well, why don't we make our textbooks digital? And, you know, you can just have them on your tablet and it's an NFT. It's tokenized. And every single time it's resold, we now have tapped into that secondary market. And it's only a matter of time before other publishers end up doing the same, especially as books get more and more digitized and it becomes more and more common reading them on a screen versus the physical thing.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And these are just two examples, but honestly, any industry that has a thriving secondary market will most likely gravitate towards NFTs because of this royalty use case. So that's a great segue into this idea that not only are those examples pertinent, but royalties allow NFTs to disrupt industries that already use royalties.
Yes.
Where royalties are already a big foundation.
Yes.
Right? And if we want that mass adoption to come, then we need to retain and do our best to prioritize these royalties, because any real industry that already relies on them and currently has them as part of like an ingrained pivot or an important part of that industry, they are going to want to keep those royalties. And NFTs just make it easier to do, right?
Yeah.
So everyone from what, media entertainment companies, film studios.
Yeah, like the entire music industry, artists, which we've mentioned before, publishing, journalism.
Gaming.
Yeah, like live performances, like all of these things that already have royalties, you know, easily could be tokenized.
And like Katarina mentioned very early on, royalties for them are kind of challenging to collect. Like they really require that middleman, that third party, mm-hmm. you know, or you know, a legal team to collect and enforce. And so, you know, NFTs make that easier. They kind of cut out that middleman and ingrain it within the smart contract. So they no longer have to rely on a third party. So they get to keep the royalties and they get to save money. It's just a no-brainer that they'll head in that direction. We'll see these guys jump right in. However, if we do get rid of royalties and we spiral down to having royalties exit or no longer become a thing, then we really do risk slowing down mass adoption, especially in these sectors of commerce.
So the third and final pro we want to chat about today is that royalties actually incentivize innovation. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a hot take, because some on the anti-royalty side would argue that royalties reduce innovation. And, you know, they're not wrong. Lazy or unprepared project creators a lot that they can rely on royalties forever to fund their project, right. Which
that encourages complacency.
Yeah. And it did. Like, they're not wrong. You know, it's led to the infamous slow rug that we're seeing now in the bear market, where trading goes down and thus revenues go down, and thus, you know, they're no longer incentivized to continue creating when they're not getting paid millions of dollars, right? Like they did in the bull run. So, but on the flip side, as we kind of touched on earlier, because of royalties, the innovation can actually be promoted to provide new value to keep those royalties coming in, right? A project, as we said earlier, will only collect royalties if there is trading volume, right? No volume, fewer royalties. This can come from hype, which is, you know, short-lived and usually ends quite abruptly, or it can come from building long-term value for holders through innovating NFTs utility.
And the hype is largely gone given where we are in the bear market, which is nice.
So all that's left is to start building utility, guys. Utility is the future. We've said this so many times. It's really the one of the only ways we're going to get out of this, especially with mass adoption. As more people are onboarded to Web3, they're going to want something for their investment. They're not just going to invest in an NFT for the sake of it being an NFT and a flip. Like, they're not going to be traders, right? Most projects without utility will die. And we're seeing that already in this bear market.
Right. But with that said, the projects that are around in the bear market are actually collecting royalties because they are still building. They're mm-hmm. still providing value.
Right. And unless a project starts following through on their roadmap and actually driving real value, there is no business that can be funded with royalties alone. Mm-hmm. Right. Thus, having the incentive of royalties encourages a project to create. Right.
And the anti-royalty crowd really would argue that other revenue streams should be created by these projects. And we agree.
Oh, without a doubt. We said this in episode 3, like NFTs are like a business. There is no business in this world that doesn't have multiple revenue streams.
Oh, for sure. Every single business, at least the ones that are thriving, surviving, and growing, have multiple revenue streams. Mm-hmm. It just makes sense. And this needs to be baked into NFT projects as well.
Yeah.
Right. You cannot just rely on royalties, maybe unless you are an artist. That is obviously the exception. There are maybe a few others, but royalties as a revenue stream at the end of the day are uniquely Web3.
And thus should be protected.
And without them, the NFT will not reflect the business as it grows and begins to provide value.
Yeah. Alternative revenue streams often will not have the NFT holders specifically their best interests in mind. The business needs to stay afloat, of course, and someone will have to be monetized, and that's going to end up being the community being sold to again and again and again versus being respected for the value they already invested in and getting the perks of being along for the ride. You know, what happens here is that NFTs begin to be treated as more of just a collectible or you know, whatever, versus being a lower tier form of equity or ownership. You know, as we said earlier, treat your holders like VCs. It's really important to do that. It'll help dictate project success. With no royalties, what's the point of having an NFT in the first place? Right? Like, there are a lot of other benefits to NFTs. Don't get me wrong when I blanket statement that, but royalties are a huge part of what makes NFTs so awesome, right? We can tout new revenue streams here and there or wherever, but no one knows where NFTs are going in the end of the day, right? I'm sure more revenue streams are going to come out of this bear market, mm-hmm. and I can't wait to see them. I can't wait to be part of making them, but they do not replace the royalty revenue stream.
Right. And that's a great point, because if we get rid of royalties right now in its current form, there's one less reason to build and innovate within Web3. And in our opinion, that stifles one of the major empowering innovations of the technology, especially for the smaller creators in the space.
Yeah, like that's one of the major incentives why people came into NFTs and why future builders will. Why would we rob future builders who are now trying to brave this bear market the opportunity of creatively providing value and receiving royalties for that in perpetuity by providing real value to their holders? Like, I think that's wrong.
Yep.
We shouldn't just get rid of it for the sake of all the things that have happened before.
Yep.
Right.
And so that was a very heated set of pros. Mm-hmm. Right now, let us take a step back and talk about some of the cons of royalties. And we have touched on a few of them intermittently while discussing the pros, but very basically, there's kind of two major ones. And that is, you know, royalties make buying and selling a project more expensive mm-hmm. for the person buying them. And the other point that Katarina did touch on a little bit is that they give founders an easy excuse for revenue generation, and that doesn't allow them to sort of push forward and maybe diversify revenue streams. It encourages complacency, like we talked about. So Right. Let's dive into these two points.
Yeah, so the first one, they make buying and selling an NFT project way more expensive, royalties. New Web3 adoptees aren't coming to Web3 for the ethos of helping one another.
Nope.
We kind of mentioned that in one of our previous episodes. The next 100 million people coming to NFTs don't care about the tech, don't care about what we're all here for and the whole pro decentralizations. They're here to get a good or service in exchange for their transaction.
Yeah, they don't give a shit.
No.
Let's be honest.
They don't. And with big brands like Starbucks making NFTs that don't rely on royalties or the transaction of money for the matter, the expectation of the masses will be that NFTs created by others will be less expensive but still hold value. And for big brands that want to capitalize on royalties like Pearson or the Mavs, right, for those secondary sales in the age of mass adoption, they're going to create their own centralized marketplaces to transact their NFTs on and force people to pay royalties whether they like it or not.
Yeah, that's most likely going to be the case. They're definitely not going to go with just a marketplace where you're given the option to support them or not. Absolutely, that's not how capitalism works.
No. So if we rid of royalties for the small players and in the more public marketplaces, the smaller creator and the entrepreneur are going to suffer.
Yeah, furthermore, in a bear market, people want to protect their bottom line, especially after the severe losses that we've seen, right, over the last, I don't know, 5 months now. And so the less they have to pay to founders, especially those that maybe slow rugged a project, the better. And this argument, as always, comes down to the G word.
Greed.
Greed,
yeah.
Right?
The whole moral point of Web3 is to build a more equitable space for opportunity and to promote decentralization of power away from the few corporations that own our world. This behavior of protecting your bottom line is destroying the intent. It is Web 2 and capitalism as it exists now leeching into this space.
Yeah, and it's so hypocritical and counterintuitive because people love to talk about community. We love to talk about supporting small creators and decentralization. And then we turn around and we have, you know, the mindset of protecting our own bottom line. It's literally, like Katarina said, a Web 2 capitalism seeping in, and look at where it's gotten us in this bear market.
Yeah, it's right? Bad. It's bad. This whole debate, it comes around that.
It's just a slippery slope down. And so to get out of this, we either need to stay true to the values that made us fall in love with Web3 in the first place, you know, the ones that we brag about to people who are not in the space, or we might as well just let the big brands come in and swallow everything up right now.
Yeah, like there's no point.
Yeah.
So the other con to highlight is that, and I kind of touched on this already, is, you know, royalties give founders an easy excuse for revenue generation, which is not a reliable single source of revenue and causes projects to fail.
Which, like we said, we agree with the sentiment for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, and as we discussed in episode 3 of this podcast, go back and watch it. Launching an NFT is like launching a business. Did we not learn anything in the 2021 bull run, right? Many creators at that time didn't launch a project that way. They created a hype project in the name of greed and quickly rugged, or as we're seeing now, they're slow rugging because they're not maintaining any project value because there was no project value to begin with, right? So from the perspective of the holder that has suffered mass losses in this time, why should a terrible founder get paid for giving up or falling flat on a project? I agree. Why should they? You know, in stocks, when a company does poorly, the stock goes down, people sell. The company doesn't make a royalty off of each sale of the stock they effectively lowered the price of.
Yep.
Right? So why should an ill-prepared creator make more off holders that trusted them and lost? Right? The counter to this is, why did you invest in such a shit project? Like, do your research. Like, the hype cycle of NFTs and greed has created this environment where frantic traders hyped into a project in order to make money. And the whole ethos of trading, it is slowly dying, but with the bear market and coming out of this time, the mentality is going to have to go with it. All right, NFT projects in the future will need to drive utility, will need a business plan, and will require accountability of the founders. That's it. Like, we can't continue this way.
That's just going to be the standard.
Yeah. To punish new creators with dissolving royalties because of the shit show of greed that we've had in this last cycle is not the solve. We as collectors need to change our mindset about what Web3 is about. You know, we got to practice what we preach. If we want to build a world where there's more fairness, more equity and value for small creators, which I know a lot of projects, especially in the women in Web3 space, are about that, we need to start acting within that ethic. It's the only real way out of this mess.
Yeah, that is really, really well put. And so riding off of that, what does a world without NFT royalties look like? There was a great thread not too long ago from a Twitter user called Kimasabi who summed this up so succinctly.
It was beautiful. We'll link it in the show notes.
Yeah, and so in a world without royalties, soft rugs and hard rugs increase. And by the way, you know, we've used these two words quite a lot. We talk about what rugs are. If you're unfamiliar, it's just basically a scam. You know, you get the rug pulled out from under your feet. Hard rugs, outright scams and Ponzi's, and soft rugs.
Soft rugs are, you know, you sell out on this great project and then the motivation just dwindles over time. Laziness creeps in, or, you know, the founders FUD because there's no money coming in, or it's harder than they thought and they can't deliver.
Right. So both of these soft rugs and hard rugs will increase. You know, founders will leave a project because there is no incentive from a royalty to stick around beyond the initial raise, mm-hmm. ultimately making the NFT useless, which we know sounds bad, but it's true.
It is true.
You know, project founders have less of a reason to, you know, communicate with their holders, to keep them in the loop, and to even build a community, because the NFT ultimately is going to provide them no payback for all of their efforts down the line for any value that they might create, of course, in cases where there is no alternative revenue stream.
Right.
Right. Mint prices go up, resale value goes down, which will negatively impact the collector, and there will be no incentive to pump the floor because, you know, prices will.
They're going to dwindle because you're just going to keep selling more NFTs to stay afloat because there's no royalties. Right? In a world without royalties, free mints, which we've loved during this bear market, are going to be less frequent, and they have no reliable Web3 style revenue to build value without royalties, right? In a world without royalties, derugs, or when a new set of founders come in and tries to save a project because they believe in it, they're going to stop existing because there's no financial incentive for a new team to come on and try and save that NFT. If the derug was based solely on new revenue streams, there is less value in the NFT as a product, as they could be just focusing on building other non-NFT related revenue streams, right? So what's the point of the NFT in the end of the day? in a world without royalties, project acquisition is pointless, as larger project labs will not be able to get paid for the value that they provide to the NFT as it grows.
Yeah. And in a world without royalties, airdrops will stop happening, right? As there is literally no incentive for the founders to provide any sort of value, as that sale of the NFT with an airdropped item will not benefit the creator in any way, shape, or form. Instead, they'll probably just monetize that airdrop and it just becomes another NFT launch.
Yep.
Right? In a world without royalties, NFT value will get diluted, right? Because right now, scarcity is a huge selling point of NFTs, the fact that there's a limited collection. As project creators need to sell more NFTs to keep their funding and basically make their funding work, that's what's going to happen. You'll see more and more NFTs made, so the value of the thing you own will inevitably decrease mm-hmm. as a result.
Mm-hmm. You know, ridding of royalties makes NFTs a Web2 product with a token on the blockchain. You know, just another version of Kickstarter with these unnecessary extra steps.
Touché.
Right? You pay this centralized team once and then you trust them to not screw you, even though they have little to no incentive not to. You stifle innovation and remove 90% of the current use cases of that what make NFTs NFTs. Yeah. It's pretty bleak, you know? And then all the haters have won.
Yeah, it sounds very sad and very pessimistic. So let's talk about some solutions and ways forward. What can we do? Well, I think two big things. Number one, devs have talked about creating on-chain royalty, mm-hmm. an on-chain royalty standard. Just like, you know, some art can be on-chain. Many are saying this is just not possible, but I've, you know, call me an idealist, but I have faith in the community. You've got some of the smartest people in the space. I believe that they can figure it out. And there are already some developers who are proposing solutions and putting forward different proposals to figure this out, mm-hmm. which is quite nice. And secondly, the NFT community can shift the culture and the ethos and decide that royalties are worth preserving and royalties are worth keeping, right? People can essentially vote with their wallet and choose to support marketplaces that enforce, you know, what everyone else believes in. And if enough people believe that there's value in this thing, we can sustain this ethic.
Absolutely.
In fact, it's what millennials and Gen Zs do already, right? What do? We vote with our wallets,
right?
And it's the same thing. It's us buying and supporting those that align with our ethos and our values. Or tipping, right? Tipping's another example. You know, we're obviously from North America where tipping is part of the culture. You don't have to do it, but you do it out of respect to the person working the service job that you are benefiting from.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
So these are two ways for that to happen. And even Beeple, you know, he had a great tweet early on this year where he said in response to royalties, well, creators should be building a following that wants to support them, right? Mm-hmm. That respects royalties, that believes that by honoring the royalties, they are investing in the creator and they are investing in the work and they are investing in their investment. It's basically helping it keep going. It's a win-win.
It's all about creating value, right?
It's always,
and if your project isn't creating value, then yeah, you don't deserve royalties. But if you are, then your community's strong and people actually want to support you. And thus, yeah, they'd want to pay royalties. So the future of royalties, should royalties be a thing? You know, the reality is the market is going to decide.
Yeah, at the end of the day, royalties themselves are a pragmatic argument, right? They're not a moral one. Like, if you're breaking it down at its essence, royalties are just part of a smart contract between a seller and a buyer.
Mm-hmm. However, the ethical argument comes forward because the royalties debate is just one symptom of an already sick industry that needs a complete overhaul to survive.
Right.
So the takeaways for this debate, for those of you who are new to it or hearing this and kind of learning more about the space, businesses and creators should not rely on royalties as their only source of income and revenue. This is why we're in this position, because projects have relied on this.
Yeah, and this is making the losses of the bear market much, much worse.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be innovative, try to be creative, and basically diversify our revenue streams to have real tangible business models with real real products, essentially.
Mm-hmm. And this can go in tandem with maintaining royalties. They're not mutually exclusive, mm-hmm. which, you know, royalties are unique to NFTs and that should be preserved.
Yeah, it's not one or the other. Right?
So, you know, people are like, oh, what are, you know, what are these other revenue streams that we're talking about here for NFTs? Well, some quick examples of innovation could include, you know, licensing the IP to others so they can create products of your IP, or you can do it yourself. You know, and there's already projects who have been doing that, like Bored 8 Yacht Club, Avenged Sevenfold, Death Bats Club. They license the IP. This is, in essence, a royalty in the traditional sense. You know, there's a licensing fee paid to the creator for the IP and its use.
Yeah. Right? And that's, so that's one revenue stream. Another one is subscription, right? You look at subscription NFTs, taking a page out of the software as a service model, right, where you turn an NFT into a subscription that needs to be paid in order to get access to the project, right? Mm-hmm. It's like akin to Patreon, right? But then again, how do we make this uniquely Web3?
Right.
Is there a way, right? Last one, Harberger taxes, right? It's kind of like a property tax on your property. You know, it's basically a payment that can be programmed on-chain into the contract, unlike royalties, as these Harberger taxes are not related to peer-to-peer or marketplace transactions. And actually, Vitalik is a huge supporter of this being something that can potentially be implemented.
Hmm. Very interesting.
Yeah. So there is no perfect model. It's a mixture of things. And again, these are just some examples of ways you could try to make revenue if you only have a digital product. But it's constantly growing and it's constantly expanding.
Yeah,
and
there's probably going to be way more complementary revenue streams beyond royalties.
Yeah, give it a couple of months for
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. But the royalties debate, as I said earlier, is a symptom of a greater sickness in the NFT space. And we've touched on this a few times in this episode. The root cause of all of this has been greed.
Yep.
From marketplaces, from collectors, and from creators. You know, to get out of this bear market, the excess greed has got to go, and innovation needs to take center stage. This is critical. Money will come if your value proposition solves a real problem for real people. This is how businesses have done things forever. You know, unique value proposition, solve a problem, make money. And as we said in episode 3, it's time to start treating NFTs like a business if we want to get out of this market.
I love that you've been drilling this take-home point this whole time.
It's facts. That's it.
It is.
We need to treat the business building with the new ethic of Web3, however, because the way we've built businesses before is the reason why NFTs have really taken off for small business owners and entrepreneurs, is because it provides this new ethic to allow us to build a commerce world that we want to see.
Yeah. And like we said earlier, you know, MFers like to talk about how great the space is, how it's awesome for artists. You know, we're paying royalties. We're decentralizing things. We're making things more equitable. Yet our words are not matching our actions, or, you know, pumping the floor, trading and FUDing when it doesn't work out. It's just they're not coordinating. They're not clicking. Right. And you need to ask yourself, what are you as a creator or collector going to do about this? Ask yourself that. If you want this issue of royalties to resolve, if you want to get out of this bear market, what ethic do you want to see part of the Web3 space moving forward?
Yeah. Do you want to be part of building a more equitable, fair space, or do you want to protect your bottom line and perpetuate the centralization and control in order to keep your assets in check, right? Starbucks launched the biggest NFT to encourage mainstream adoption really recently. They didn't think about royalties because they're not in Web3 for money from NFT sales specifically. Other large businesses are either going to bake royalties into their own centralized platforms and you'll have no choice to pay them, or corporations that won't need royalties as part of their business model will build and disregard this issue altogether. This doesn't affect the big players who are going to swallow up this market within the near future. Mass adoption relies on these corporations' moves.
It absolutely does not affect the big players. It really is an issue that affects the small creators, right? The idealists for decentralization of power. And those of us that believe in the tech to bring opportunity to more people, we should be preserving this. We should be saving this. We should be advocating for it. If we don't start acting as individuals building the future that we want to see, then we might as well toss in the towel right now and let the big megacorps that already control our world control the blockchain as well.
Wow.
yeah, the takeaway of the episode is, how do you, as an individual, plan to build the space that you want to be a part of?
And with that, thank you for listening to episode 7 of Not a JPEG. We hope you learned something. We hope that you have something to maybe think about and add to the debate. And we really hope that you think about how you're going to participate in Web3 moving forward. If you're listening to this on any podcasting app, make sure you hit that subscribe button and the little notification bell. Check us out on YouTube so you can put the face to the name. And if you're on social media, check us out at Not a JPEG Podcast. And remember, tell all of your Twitter followers, go on a Twitter space and talk about what we said here on Not a JPEG and let them know how you feel about royalties and also the fact that Not a JPEG is your new favorite podcast. Thanks so much.
We'll see you next time.